This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to meet the new CEO of the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. Mike Flanders is giving up his seat on the Fort Myers City Council, a position he's held for nearly two decades, to take over at the estates. We'll get an update on what's happening at the historic home site and what plans he has for its future. But first, every year, the Lee County Homeless Coalition conducts what's called a point in time, or PIT census, to count individuals and families who are homeless. The information they collect is given to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and helps determine what services are required to meet the needs of the county's homeless population. This year's count, which was conducted on January 20th, found a 68% increase in total homeless individuals, a 163% increase in total homeless households with children, and a more than 100% increase in the number of chronic homeless. We're joined in studio today by the Coalition's Executive Director, Janet Bartos, to get a handle on what these increases mean and what they're seeing on the ground as we enter the summer. Janet, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're also joined in studio today by Christine Welton. She is the Executive Director of the Hunger and Homeless Coalition of Collier County. They also conduct a point-in-time count back in January. It found a 38% increase in the number of homeless children in the county, up to 1,215 from the 881 the year before. They also added a new category this year for homeless seniors. Christine, thanks for being here and helping us to get a sense of what's happening in Collier County.
Thank you for having me.
We are getting an update on the current state of homelessness in Lee and Collier counties on today's show. And if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you're always invited to give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So, Janet, I'm going to start with you. Can you explain to me a little bit about how these point-in-time counts are conducted?
Okay, so each year in January, we conduct a point-in-time census to count the number of people experiencing homelessness. The data is provided to HUD, and it's also used by local service providers to target the specific needs of those who are homeless in our community. Now, conducting these counts is often challenging and requires many volunteers.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I mean, how do you find homeless people? I mean,
Like I said, it takes a lot of volunteers, and the results can be influenced by a lot of different things, such as weather and maybe not enough volunteers or different methodologies. So what we do is actually reach out to FGCU and get a lot of students that come out and help us.
Oh, that's great.
We use a survey form. We go to different locations that where people that are experiencing homelessness may go to,
you know, they soup kind of congregate kitchens. in certain areas?
Right. Place like soup kitchens or libraries. What we do, we also hold an event. We felt that if we could bring people to us, we would get a better count. So we hold our Homeless Service Day and Veterans Stand Down in January. Mm-hmm. And we give out a variety of different items at this event. And there's also different services there. And everybody that goes into the event has to have a survey form completed. Mm-hmm. So, but these comparisons can be, you know, at the community level when we count everybody can be a bit misleading.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. We were talking before we went on the show, and Christine, feel free to chime in. These numbers may not be 100% reflective of all the people that are without a home.
Absolutely.
So these are numbers that are reported to Housing and Urban Development, the United States Department, right?
Correct. And they have a very specific definition as what they consider homeless or not homeless. So if you have someone that's potentially couch surfing, doubled up,
staying with friends or family.
Correct. Which we have a lot of those types of families right now because of the hurricane Irma. You know, they're still waiting for their, where they were living to be either fixed or
Everybody now knows it takes forever.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So we really influenced our numbers this year as well because a lot of those people technically are not allowed to be counted, but they really do count because they're not technically living in their home.
So in order to be considered homeless for this particular set of census data for the Housing and Urban Department of Housing and Urban Development, in order to be considered homeless, you have to be literally without a roof over your head, staying in a shelter, staying out in nature, or staying on a park bench, or one of these types of scenarios.
Correct.
So that's what these numbers reflect.
Yes. Now this point in time count, it's a sampling. It's a tally of who's homeless on a given night and who experiences homelessness throughout the year. So, and it's always an undercount, and it's often misleading. One of the things I found interesting this year was our number of chronic homeless went way up. It was 103% increase.
What constitutes chronic homeless? That means somebody that's not just without a home for that night or that week.
There is a definition of chronic homelessness. Someone who's been has a disabling condition and has been homeless for a year or more, or had at least four episodes of homelessness over the past 3 years. So when you look at the numbers, we felt that in 2017, when we did that homeless service day and we did our count, we had some weather that was – it was cold and rainy. And so we feel that maybe that count was a bit misleading.
Misleading on the low end or high end?
Right,
yes.
on the low end.
Because, so if it's bad weather, you'll get fewer people at
right,
these
things. Right, because they're not coming out of their camps or wherever it is they're staying. They're just – they were invisible that day. Mm-hmm. They didn't come out.
So this when we're seeing this marked increase, it could be because the day – last year that we did this count, it was bad weather and not as many people showed
correct.
Up.
Correct.
We had the same thing in Collier County as well because the weather was really bad in 2017 when we did the count. And you have to think, you know, if you're living in a camp and the weather's real bad, you go into survival mode because you're trying to save whatever it is that you have. So they were looking for tarps and, you know, they weren't worried about coming to our event or, you know, doing a survey, they were in survival mode trying to save what they did have.
Right. So that could be the reason that we're seeing these increases. I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is to blame the hurricane because I blame it for everything now.
Right.
We'd like to do that too.
Right.
But do you think that these numbers have been impacted by the
hurricane?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. What we saw this year was well, one thing, that chronic number jumped, and I'm not so sure that that had to do with the hurricane. That was a bit different. Like I said, I think the improved weather this year, we got a better count. But what we did see this year was that we got numbers from FEMA, from the temporary shelter assistance, from the hotels that people were placed in on the day of our count, and there were 257 people that were homeless due to Hurricane Irma. Originally, when we surveyed, the number we got was 471, and it was a 2.9% increase from last year. But when we added the 257 individuals that were homeless from the hurricane, that increased our point-in-time number to 728, making it a 68% increase.
So that kind of data could be, I don't know, I don't want to say misleading, but not reflective of homelessness caused by traditional means.
Right, right. So these numbers are often misleading. They're usually an undercount, but then again, they are a solid number.
Well, still they're alarming. More than 1,000 kids are without a home right now in Collier County.
Absolutely.
Is that surprising to you?
It is. Well,
Christine?
I mean, it is and it isn't because, you know, our count, it's funny because she says her chronic homelessness went up. In my county, it didn't. It went down. What we saw was a significant increase in our first-time homeless. Now, that's a direct impact from Irma 100%. Mm-hmm. And that came directly from our numbers from Immokalee specifically. Because Immokalee, we still have over 200 families waiting to get back into their homes and or fix the homes. So they might be living in their home, but it is substandard living.
And I'm wondering also in Immokalee that I understand there are a lot of rental situations there. Are there a lot of people that have been in a rental situation, perhaps in Immokalee, that repairs have not been made by the landlords on those homes and that may have forced people out into homelessness?
Absolutely. That's definitely one of the factors. And it's not that, you know, the landlords – Some are just not doing the repairs, and then there's some that are still in line with everyone else waiting for the repairs to come.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, there's a huge backup, I'm sure, in Lee County as well. But, I mean, I've got numbers, you know, for Everglades City and stuff. They've got all kinds of mitigation issues going on out there because so many different things now have to change because of all the damage that did happen. I mean, that whole city got wiped out.
Yeah, it did. So I'm wondering, how is specifically Everglades City right now?
Well, there's almost every family, even if they did do repairs to their homes, now there's this whole mitigation that's going on because I believe every home has to be lifted now. So they may have to go back and fix that or, you know, deal with that in whatever way they're going to deal with it. So it's just – it. Everglades City is just – they're really hurting.
And you know what I was surprised to learn after that hurricane was that when FEMA does come in and they do offer to help make things better, they don't – you're not in a new home. You don't get your home completely repaired by FEMA. That's not how it works.
No.
The FEMA person said to me the maximum they ever give anybody is $30,000 or $33,000. That's not going to fix a home.
They try to restore your housing to what it was before the hurricane.
Yeah, but they won't. They only give you up to 33, and that's in a lot of cases not going to make it happen.
Absolutely, and like we're really lucky in our area. We have a disaster recovery center, what we call the DAC, and that's overseen by the Salvation Army. And the person that works there, Ashley Jones, she's the director. She has a lot of recovery experience because she was from Oklahoma. So like what you're saying, they might only get the $33,000, but then there's other recovery grants and programs and then other agencies coming in like United Way has a program and different things that have provided money. And then potentially they could tap into those other monies to get the other things that they need. But $33,000, if you lost your roof, your AC system, flooding, you have to almost redo the whole house. That's not going to do it.
Yeah, we talked to one woman who had just the steps up to her house and everything else was gone.
Yeah,
it completely got washed out to sea. If you're just joining the show today, I'm joined by Janet Bartos from the Lee County Homeless Coalition. Lee County just released its annual homeless count, which found a big jump in the number of homeless people in the county. We're also joined by Christine Welton from the Hunger and Homelessness Coalition in Collier County. If you'd like to join our discussion, we'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Using the hashtag of GCL. Now, we're talking about these numbers, and they are counting the people that are absolutely without shelter or staying at a shelter, not counting the people who are couch surfing, for example, staying at friends or family's house. Is there any way to get an accurate representation of those kinds of numbers?
Well, we do get some numbers from our school. The school uses a different definition of homelessness. So they use the McKinney-Vento because that's where they get their funding.
McKinney-Vento is what?
McKinney-Vento.
It's
an
a grant
it's a
that
grant.
The school systems well, receive for homelessness.
Oh, okay. Right, that makes sense.
So it's a broader definition, and they use an annualized count. So, for instance, if you were homeless on September 1st, you're counted as homeless the entire year. So we always get the numbers from them when we do our point-in-time count. So this year, the number of students that the Lee County School District had identified as homeless was 1,721 students. But 1,111 of those students had been doubled up and sharing housing. 658 were homeless from Irma. And they said 161 of those were from Puerto Rico and the Virgin Isles. So, and to kind of put that in perspective, now this was the number they gave us on February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, the end of the school year, the number was 1,509.
Total.
So that's a big jump, 1,721 on February 1st.
Yeah.
So 200 more students than way earlier in the year.
Yeah, that's...
So, but like I said, it's a broader definition, the McKinney-Vento.
Because that includes kids
right,
that are staying at their friend's house or –
Right, or families sharing housing. So, and it is an annualized count. It's not a current count. On our point-in-time count, we identified, I believe it was 48 families with 78 children. And out of those, six of those families were not sheltered. They were actually living either in their cars or in camps.
In the camps. Tell me about these camps. Christine or Janet, have you ever been to any of these camps and seen where these people are staying?
I have.
Can you describe that to me so that I can know what we're talking about?
Well, each camp is a little different. The ones in Collier County, I've been to a couple in Lee as well. But the camps in Collier, some of them in Immokalee are kind of, more primitive or what have you. But then there's some camps in like East Naples and stuff, and they get pretty – they're like their own little community. It's very interesting. They kind of like congregate in a centralized area in the middle, and they have their tents and what have you around. And, you know, they even, you know, have like little things outside their tents and stuff, like decorating almost like, you know, a home. I've even seen some camps where they've somehow gotten electric to them for like,
yes.
Yeah, they're very creative.
Resourceful.
Resourceful. That's a good
one. Yeah.
The one family that I was mentioning that was homeless, their camp is pretty elaborate. He actually had a generator. He had a television. They have a shower, like the camping type of showers where you heat the water throughout the day in the sun.
So these are people just – and where do you find a piece of land to do that? Do you just kind of get yourself out into the woods where nobody really kind of sees or hears your generator?
Yes. And if the landowner finds out about it and calls law enforcement and wants you to leave, then law enforcement will come out and ask you to leave. So, you know,
so
camps
kind of
move
always,
quite often, yes.
You're always kind of
yeah,
in,
very
in
transient. I mean, you are a lot of times, especially – and it depends, you know – certain camps are different than others. Some might have people that it's more like a dangerous or a high, more of a crime element. So those camps tend to be shut down pretty quickly. But then some camps are more family oriented and just kind of like stick to themselves. And if they're not really bothering anyone, sometimes, you know, they can be left to be there for a little while. But you always are taking that chance that, you know, the landowner or if someone even complains that, you know, the sheriff's office would come in and ask you to move.
So we're talking about these numbers today, and it seems like they had quite a significant increase. But as we mentioned, they can be quite misleading as well. But the bottom line is year to year, you still see a lot of homeless people in our area. And I'm wondering you know, if either of you, Janet or Christina, if you could compare our region to other parts of the state, are we kind of on par with others or are we worse?
Well, I was on a conference call this morning and what they told us there was statewide the number has actually decreased.
Okay.
Which I found because we increased this year. So,
well, one of the things that we talk about a lot on the show, too, is the lack of affordable housing. How many of the people do you guys see, for example, in Lee County are working poor who ended up, you know, we always say one medical issue or
right.
one paycheck missed?
People become homeless for a variety of reasons, and lack of affordable housing is there right on the top of the list. I've got a lot of people calling nowadays that when their lease is up and they go to extend it, the landlord has increased the monthly payment by not like $30 or $50. It's a couple hundred dollars, and it's way out of their budget. So they're being just pushed out of the rental market. I think a lot of people, due to the recession, a lot of people have bad credit. And so more people rent nowadays than before. So
and rental
so
rates
rents
have really
skyrocketed,
increased.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're – I mean, in Collier County, it is literally unaffordable. I mean, you probably can't find a two bedroom for under $1,300 a month.
So, if you're as a person who deals with homelessness, and we were talking about chronically homeless, but it's a chronic issue with this affordable housing situation. How you know, Christine, mainly in Collier County, how do you see that playing out going into the future? Because the rents aren't you know going to go down anytime soon. But we still have a very service industry reliant, you know, economy here with tourism. How do you see that as somebody who works with homelessness as far as being something that can never even be solved?
Honestly, it worries me, you know, and that's one of the major reasons why I started, you know, I've only been in this position for a year and a half. And when I came on and I started analyzing the data and what was going on, I created what we call the GAP fund, which is like an emergency fund for families. And what it is basically prevention. So it's easier for me to help someone stay where they're at, like with a back rent, if they have like a car, you know, broken down, a health issue, whatever, then for them to become completely homeless and try to get them into somewhere else because the rent may be three times, you know, more than what they're paying now.
Or getting them through that first and last month deposit going into
Correct.
A new place. That's always tough for anyone.
And we do assist with that in the GAP fund as well. If you can find a place that you can afford, if someone finds a place, we'll help with the first, last, and security or a portion of it, depending on how much it is. But I help people with a lot of, you know, past due rents, like, you know, a month or two behind for whatever reason. And I've really kind of concentrated a lot on the prevention side of it because otherwise our numbers would just be increasing and nowhere for them to go. There literally is nowhere to house them. And there's no political will in our area to change that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There's a lot of development. You see a bunch of new strip malls and a bunch of new condos going up, but those are not in the affordable territory.
No.
They're not in that region. And we had a person in here who did a study about 7 or 8 months ago talking about how that ends up being kind of unsustainable for any metropolitan area to not have affordable housing for the people. Now, in Lee County, still it's out of reach. It's maybe not as extreme as Collier County.
There's definitely a lack of affordable housing in Lee County as well. And in fact, this is one of the worst crises of lack of affordable housing in years in our country. So we're not alone here in Florida. It's all over the country. So what we're constantly is contacting our local legislators, you know, asking there is a housing trust fund that should be used. It comes from doc stamps, money from real estate sales from the doc stamps are placed in this housing trust fund. However, the legislator usually sweeps the money out of that. We don't get all of it for affordable housing. So there is money for affordable housing.
Is that a countywide thing or a statewide thing?
State. And we also found out today that it looks like we may lose some very important funding, challenge grant funding. And the legislator had fully appropriated that funding. And there's some problems with the language in the appropriations, the proviso language.
The proviso, yeah.
So what happens is that the money is administrated by the Department of Economic Opportunity. And there's no language granting authority to transfer the money to DCF.
So because of that missing sentence in that particular piece of legislation, we are in Lee and Collier County looking at
losing funding.
Losing funding that is going to help keep people in homes.
Absolutely.
Right. In Lee County, it's $118,000 a year that we get for this funding, and it helps pay for rental and utility assistance, that type of thing.
To help prevent people from being on the streets.
Right.
And that may go away because of one sentence that's not.
Yes,
in that
and it could go away July 1st.
And that's going to happen quick.
Yes.
Yeah, and in Collier County, $30,000 of our total challenge grant money goes to that prevention fund that I was talking about. The GAP fund that I actually administer, and it's a dollar for dollar grant, so we have to raise another 30 to meet that. So we get about 60. So it would cut us in half.
Yeah.
And then I also fund two case management positions at our women's shelter, our domestic violence shelter as well, with that money.
And that's possibly going to go away on July 1st.
Correct.
What's going on to try to mitigate that?
Well, I think all it's going to take is we've been writing our legislators and actually writing letters to the governor, because I think the governor is able to make a quick fix with that by just saying that transferring the money from the Department of Economic Opportunity to DCF. And if he does that, then I think that will resolve the issue. So this afternoon, we're going to be writing more letters to the governor and contacting our legislators.
I believe he's in
Naples. We've been doing that for a couple weeks now.
I think he's in Naples today. He's doing an event. So
maybe I'll go back with Christine to Naples. And
I wanted to talk a little bit before we run out of time about the difference between Lee and Collier counties. We were talking before we went on. The difference of 30, 35 miles is pretty extreme when it comes to things like philanthropy. So I wanted to talk with both of you about what types of resources are available for people. You mentioned, Christine, the GAP funding. That's money to help people prevent getting out there, being out on the streets and then, or in the woods or in a camp. What kind of things are available if anybody might happen to have their radio on and they're in this kind of a situation where they have found themselves to be homeless? What is something that they should do first?
If they have a situation where they're behind on their rent or an electric bill or a water bill, or they need or they just moved into their apartment and they need a deposit for electric or water, I can help them with that. So I also assist people with emergency hotel stays, usually only if it's going to be like a week or so until they get into another place. I have to have a plan first before I'll, you know, be able to pay for them to be put in a hotel, or sometimes if it's just a couple days until we can get them in the shelter, if it's a family or a senior, something like that, we do those types of things. So most of it is past due rent and stuff like that to prevent them from getting the eviction notice.
So how do they call the
– They would call my office.
Your office is – how do they find it? How do they find that number?
We have – well, I can give it to you. It's 239-263-9363 is our main number. And then also, we have a website, Hunger and Homeless Coalition of Collier County. It's very user-friendly. We also have all the other resources listed on our website for the other agencies that are providing services in the county.
That'd
I believe
be great.
Janet does as well.
So Janet, yes. How do people get a hold of Lee County services that are available for homeless?
So the easiest thing somebody can do is call 211. And because that's our referral agency in Lee County. So 211, and especially if they're a veteran, 211 has a Mission United. So for veterans only, they can offer them help. Also on our website, which is leehomeless.org, we have a Get Help section. And people can go to that section and look at all the different resources available. We put out it's called the Green Book. It's a Lee County Pocket Guide to Emergency Assistance. And it has a green cover. So the homeless folks have always known it as the Green Book. So
yeah.
It's called the Green Book. And that has all the different resources in there. So we have shelters and prevention services and permanent supportive housing and transitional housing, also different programs that with the contact information are in that book. I will say that the shelters in Lee County have been full, and they've been full for months and months and months, I think as well as in Collier County and
Absolutely.
Charlotte
Same
County
story.
As well.
Yeah. And actually in Collier, we're a little bit like, because St. Matt's is they have an actual shelter location, the Immokalee Friendship House in Immokalee. Then they have the location in Naples as well. So and then we have the Women's Shelter for Domestic Violence. So we have a little bit more options than actually I believe they do in Lee County. So, and they're still always inundated.
Yeah.
So we have in Lee County, the shelter for women and families is the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And they ask that people come there Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 and complete an intake form to get on that wait list. And then the shelter for single men is the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. We also have the Bob James Triage Center, but that's a diversion program for law enforcement in the hospital system. So that's not for somebody to just walk in. You have to be brought in there by a law enforcement officer or sent from the hospital.
Oh, okay. So that maybe – okay. Well, it's really interesting talking to you both, because these numbers, while staggering, don't even show the real picture. And then you're also now facing a budget shortfall because of a lack of wording in a piece of legislation. So it's interesting to hear what you have to say about both of those items. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with me.
Thank you.
Janet Bartos, Executive Director for the Lee County Homeless Coalition. Janet, I really appreciate you being here. And also Christine Welton, the Executive Director of Hunger and Homeless Coalition of Collier County. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll meet the new CEO of the Edison Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. It's one of the top 10 most visited historic home sites in the county. We're going to find out what's happening in the estates and what plans its new leader has for the future. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.